Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to talk about, just for a couple minutes here, is the peace of Christmas. Oftentimes we approach the Christmas season with what we'd call hopes of goodwill, maybe love. Maybe we have anticipation that things are going to be a little bit different. We have bountiful gatherings with our loved ones. It's a hope and anticipation of maybe just a brief reprieve from this hectic and chaotic world that sometimes seems very hateful. Can Christmas truly bring us peace? After all, we talk about it. We say peace on earth. So what is peace? If I was to ask five different people in this room this morning, I bet every one of you would have a different answer. Some may have peace as being maybe you just want your mom and dad to get along for the holidays. That's pretty serious peace on the prayer of a young teenager. Maybe if I was to ask somebody else, they would say, well, peace to me is all these wars that we see in the world. I really wish that the wars would just stop. Then we would have peace. If I was to ask the exhausted mother, and I'm sure there's a few of you in here, what peace is to you, your answer may go something like this. Well, I just want to get through the Target checkout without blood and World War III breaking out between the little rascals at my ankles. See, it's conditional. It's different for each one of us. A depressed person may say, hey, they say peace on earth. How about peace in my mind? How about peace in my soul? I just want God to take these crazy thoughts from me. See, everyone's got a different example and version of peace, and it's individual to you. Many nativity scenes that we see around the country and Christmas plays that we have, they talk about peace on earth. Now, if we don't study the scriptures, we're set up to think that Jesus coming to this earth would bring peace upon this planet. It's misleading, really. During the time of Christ's birth, let's just look for a moment as to what was going on. The Roman Empire was actually experiencing a period of peace. However, it was a peace that was brought about through military exhaustion, and it was really forced compliance within the Roman Empire. As you know, the scriptures, they say Caesar Augustus, right, was the ruler at that time. You may not know this, but he was actually hailed throughout the empire as being the provider and the assurer of peace. He even developed a name as being the good news and the provider of peace. See, if we're not careful, we can do just what the Romans did and start attributing peace and good news to a person or an event or a thing, when in reality, we know that the peace is Jesus Christ, bridging that gap between God. And we know that the good news is that Jesus Christ came and he died. But just like the Romans, We can put people on a pedestal. We can put an event on a pedestal. We can even put Christmas on a pedestal, thinking that the idea of what I see on the Hallmark movie channel is what would bring me peace. And it's not going to. If we look at our world today, Christianity is under attack in many ways. If you look at our own country, we know the struggles that we're going through with just what would probably be a continual pushback and reduction of Christian values and freedoms. But if we look even beyond that, let's take for a moment our brothers and sisters who are in the Middle East, who are Christians, who are being persecuted and killed for following this very thing of Jesus from Bethlehem. Not everyone can sit in this building that we can sit in today and worship freely. Not everyone has the choir and the musicians. You know, we're going to have some snacks and some coffee afterwards. Then we're going to go home and we're going to be with loved ones throughout the next couple of days. But not everybody has that. So does that mean that the Christians in the Middle East don't believe in this peace on earth that we hear talked about so much? We see it in our plays, we hear it in our songs. As you go about your setting with your families, think about the Christians that are being persecuted for actually following Christ. People who are actually losing their families. You might say, what does this have to do with the Christmas message? This is supposed to be all hope and joyful. It is. It is. The hope and joy comes through Jesus Christ, but there's people who do not experience the pleasures that we have here in this country. So as I said, peace is a relative term. It's situational based. So what does peace on earth mean? Well, if you look in the scriptures, when Christ came upon the earth, there was a condition to the peace. We all know the story about the heavenly host singing, right? And they said, glory to God in the highest, peace to man, or peace on earth, on whom God's favor rests. See, it's conditional. It has to be on whom God's favor rests. So if you're looking for that peace, it comes through having favor with God. And you go, well, how do I get God's favor? It's pretty simple. You send the TV preacher $1,000 and he'll send you a prayer shawl. Obviously not, right? The answer is through Scripture. It actually tells us, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, I cannot please God. Without putting my faith in Jesus Christ, I cannot have faith, or I cannot have peace between myself and God. See, the peace has nothing to do with me or you or our circumstances, as much as we like to relate it to that. It is that I am a guilty sinner who is considered an enemy of Christ if I have not put my hope and trust inside of the baby that came to Bethlehem, that the angelic hosts were singing about that starry night out in the field. Jesus spoke about peace a couple of times. He said this to his disciples. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The audience he was speaking to was not the general public. He was speaking to his followers, his disciples, those who had put their faith and their trust. See, peace on earth is not available to all. Peace between you and God is not available to all. It is simply to those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah actually prophesied about this of the coming Messiah. He said to this that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. That's why we say peace on earth. It has nothing to do with circumstances, has nothing to do with wars or persecution. It simply is that bridge between myself and God. So I'll end with this. Let's say that you're sitting here today and your life is just in turmoil. Maybe a loved one has recently passed and you don't feel like celebrating Christmas. Maybe somebody is about to pass and you're not sure if they're going to make it through the holiday season. Maybe there's things going on in your home that you don't fully understand as a kid, and all you want is for your parents to get along. So how do you get that? Life's not a Hallmark movie, even though I love Hallmark movies. It's not a Hallmark movie. There's going to be rough times. Peace does not guarantee that your circumstance will be happy. Peace does not guarantee your circumstance will bring joy. What peace does guarantee, though, is that you put whatever it is you're going through at the feet of God. And you say, Father, I trust in you. I give this all to you. Please take this situation. And you'll have that peace. Maybe you're sitting here and you're that person that maybe you feel like you've kind of slid back a little bit in your walk with Christ. And it hasn't been the year that you were expecting. And you feel like maybe instead of growing closer, you've grown further apart. And you feel like that bridge is broken between you and God. The good thing is that bridge is not broken. You just haven't walked across it lately. You can have the peace between you and God, and it comes through repentance. So as you go about your Christmas season, I pray that all of you have a blessed time. I pray that you find peace. And if you see somebody that you know is struggling, and the Lord puts them on your heart, pray with them. Offer them the peace that you know is true and real, which is only through Jesus Christ, bridging that gap between us and God the Father. He calls us his friend. God bless you.
Please stand.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. We will sing joy. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. We will sing joy. We will sing joy. We will sing joy. Joy to the world. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love. We will sing joy. We will sing joy. We will sing joy, joy to the world. We will sing joy. We will sing joy. We will sing joy, joy to the world. We will sing joy.
Another thing that Jesus brings through his birth and through his coming is joy. You know, the joy of the Lord is gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Isaiah 12:2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also brings my salvation." When we are weak, he is strong. God came to this earth to bring salvation. And in that comes a great joy. You know, so when you're down, you don't feel like you could do it anymore, everything's coming against you, just everything seems like it's going wrong, that's where I find my hope and the joy of the Lord. You know, knowing what it is that he's done for me, that does bring joy. You know, and one of the things that kept radiating through my mind as I was looking up all these scriptures about joy is a song from being in, you know, preschool, or not preschool, but down with the kids, you know, learning a nursery song, you know, and there's so many truths that are just packed into so many of these little songs that you learn as a kid in Sunday school. You know, if Barb was here, she would be like, yes. You know, and that's where I love teaching the kids here. You know, because you have that impact of sharing God's word with these little ones in a way that they get it. You know, so if you know this song, join in. You know, it's one of those things, I could stand up here and read scriptures about joy for 20 minutes. But when you sing a little song that you may have heard, I'm sure Betty's heard it and Clay's heard it. One day we'll probably sing it in Spanish for those in Colombia. But The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 He gives me living water, then I thirst no more. He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Ha 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 ha. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Don't forget it.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music flows o'er all the weary world. Above this sad and lonely place, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babble sounds till blessed angels sing. Forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing.
Ooh, ooh. Amen. Please be seated. When we think of this holiday season, and we think of the things that have come before us and probably traditions that we've had over the years, we always know that this time of the season brings the idea of giving gifts. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We hear that loud and clear in this place. When we look through scriptures, there's so many mentions of gifts, it's unbelievable. God gave gifts, and men gave gifts in trying to appease God in ways that they didn't even know him beforehand. When God spelled out a special plan, the only way was through sacrifice. And these things were considered gifts of men toward God at that time. But when Christ came, the babe born in a manger that brought peace and joy, yet now he gave a gift that was unrecognizable to men normally, just through fleshly eyes, they looked at him and, who is this man that chooses to lay down his life? How can he be someone that I have to trust in for this idea of him giving me a gift of eternal life. But yet, as foolishness, it appears to us of fleshly minds, once we've been born again of the Spirit of God, it becomes essential. It becomes something that stirs us. It becomes something that becomes real to us. It isn't foolishness any longer. It's factual. It's information that we can't grasp without having the Holy Spirit within us. And it's amazing that that's the truth, because I've seen it happen time and time again, not only in this place, but in lives that are even in my own family, that we see someone that comes to salvation and thinks that they know God for many, many years. And then all of a sudden, the light switch is flipped. The Holy Spirit has moved in. The sense of it all becomes apparent to them. They understand that this gift of God, this eternal life that was given, is now real. It's something that's to be possessed, that it makes a change in our lives, in our hearts. It makes a difference in the way we live and the way that we treat other beings, the way that we treat other people. It still makes us the person we are. We still have our background information. We still have our fleshly mind that we contend with on a day-by-day-by-day basis, moment by moment even. At times we may say something that we feel as though, wow, that was really hurtful. Now what do I do, Lord? And the Lord says, well, maybe it's time to apologize. Maybe it's time to ask of forgiveness. We say things that sometimes come out of our mouths, as many of us even in the world say things and go, wow, I wish I wouldn't have said it. Can I take that back? But the Lord causes each thing for a reason. It's not only these words that we speak out of sometimes feeling as though we're foolish, but these giftings that he's placed upon our lives, it allows us to see. We've now have this gift of salvation that becomes so apparent to us. And I want to read a section of scripture here in 2 Corinthians. It's starting at verse 9:6, going through 9:15. And it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the whole idea of giver is giftings. We're giving gifts. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, mind you, he doesn't send you out freely without any ammunition, if you will. He doesn't send you out and say, just go and make it work. It's as if he sends us out always providing for our every need. So he gives us all sufficiency for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And when we think of even that terminology, his indescribable, we don't have words to describe this gift. It is so precious. It is so far beyond what we can comprehend that his gift, we look at it in simplicity, and yet it's so much more complex than that. His gift was given. He was God in a babe. He was God that was raised, 33 years of experiencing life, and yet willingly said, I'm giving you this gift. All I require is that you believe in me.
Virgin Mother.
so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace.
Interesting last line there. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Wisdom. When I think of wisdom and I think of this time, this Christmas time, this time of Christ Mass, one thing that shoots to my mind right away is the Magi, the wise men. The account of the wise men in Matthew 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. Wise men. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art now the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mother Mary and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We hear this so often at Christmas time, at the birth of Jesus, of the wise men and what they did. The events of the wise men, the magi, actually visiting Jesus. We don't know exactly when they've happened. We know it didn't happen right at the time of the birth. Some accounts say upwards of 2 years later. But that's not really important. What's important is the words of this account. We're going to look at them in a little bit. So just remember them as I had read them. We're going to look at those in a little bit. The details are of great importance to what we look at today of what these wise men saw. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When I looked at Proverbs 9, what I saw was an entire chapter that was full of quotables of wisdom. But this one is one that we know very well, and something that I think is applicable, because the world today has no fear of the Lord anymore. That is gone. And it's not just the world that has no fear of the Lord. They don't recognize who he is. They don't recognize that he is Lord at his birth. And at this time of year, they do not recognize that. And sadly, it's not just the world. It's the church. The church no longer, in a lot of cases, does not recognize who he is. And they do not have a fear of him. They don't recognize that he is Lord at his birth. Wisdom. They do not have the fear. They do not have the knowledge. Psalm 14, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Alongside having no fear of the Lord, many will just say, there is no God. And again, that's quickly becoming the flavor of the day as well. Alongside not having a fear, it's just, there isn't a God. The Lord who? Many churches today are so watered down and worldly, when you hear a sermon, you might even wonder if you're in a church, because the Lord may not even be mentioned. You'll have a feel-good sermon that you go home and you may feel good about yourself, but you haven't even heard Christ mentioned. You may not even have the scriptures even opened. What's the big saying today around Christmas time? It's happy holidays. Christ has been left out of it. Him who was born Lord at his birth is not even mentioned. He's left out of the Christ Mass. It's not even really remembered as a holy day. It's just happy holidays. What's the opposite of foolishness? It's wisdom. The wisdom is left. So where are we, my fellow Christians, at this Christ Mass? Where are you at Christmas? Where are we when it comes to Jesus? When it comes to the Lord? Are we fools who say there is no God? Are we attempting to be wise in our own understanding? When Herod the king had heard these things, what was he? He was troubled. He was troubled when he heard these things, and all Jerusalem with him. So not just him, those around him were troubled as well. Are we like Herod and all of Jerusalem? Are we troubled by Jesus? It's time to realize what this time of year is about. Time to recognize what we celebrate at this Christ Mass time. Do we have the fear of the Lord? And the fear meaning we truly recognize who he is, that he is Lord at his birth. Not just a babe who was laying in a manger, not just the son of a carpenter. Who did the wise men come to see? As they said, they came to see the Son of God. They came to see Christ the King. They came to see the King of the Jews, Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, the Light of the World. That's who they came to see. Are we like Herod, troubled with the birth of the King of the Jews? Or are we like the wise men who saw where he was, and what did they do? They rejoiced with an exceeding great joy. Are we rejoicing today with an exceeding great joy like the wise men? And what did they do when they came and they saw? They fell down and they worshiped. Wise men. Are we like the wise men? I say we follow the example of the wise men. We rejoice with exceedingly great joy, and we fall down and worship him. Amen.
Small child in a land of a thousand, one small dream of a Savior tonight, one small hand reaching out to the starlight, one small city of light,
small city of light,
one small city of light. One king bringing his gold and his riches, one king ruling an army of might, one king kneeling with incense and candlelight, one king bringing us life. Oh, 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 oh. See him light. Cradle beneath him, see him smiling in the stall, see his mother praising his father, see his tiny eyelids fall. One small light from the flame of a candle, one small light from a city of might, one small light from the stars in the endless night, one small light from his face. Oh, 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 oh. See the shepherds kneeling before you, see the kings on bended knee, see the mother praising his father, see the blessed infant sleep. One small child in a land of a thousand, one small dream in a people of might, one small hand reaching out to the starlight, one small Savior of light,
one small Savior of light,
one small Savior of light.
As we look around in this world that we live in, which increasingly is spiraling out of control, it's very easy to have a feeling of hopelessness. As we look at the violence, we look at the inhumanity of man to his fellow man, which is increasingly becoming more and more virulent. All you have to do is look at the 11 o'clock news and see what's happening even in our own country and our own cities. The world sees Christmas as a secular celebration now. Gifts are exchanged, and the hope of most is material. What can be gained in materialism? What gifts can I receive? What accolades can I receive? Jesus is acknowledged by many, but the true reason why he came and the hope that he brought is largely ignored, either through ignorance or willful ignorance. So what is that true hope that we do celebrate on Christmas Day? Of course, it's the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Matthew's gospel, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." He shall save his people from their sins. In John's gospel, it's recorded, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Again, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The incarnation, God coming in the flesh, that baby Jesus, is the very reason we have hope, that mankind has hope. Because without Jesus, we have no hope. We're all dead in our sins without him, and without that incarnation, that coming of God in the flesh. But we who are in Christ, who are born again, are not without hope. Scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The world can't compute the birth of that little infant in Bethlehem with someone who came to be sacrificed for us. They don't seem to make sense, one the beginning to the end. But that's the reason he came. And in Christmas, we celebrate that reason. So our living hope is the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our hope and our only hope. The world offers us no hope. The things that we can gain, the gifts that we receive, don't give us hope. They give us temporary joy, perhaps for an hour or two, or maybe even a couple of days. Then that TV gets outdated, or that computer gets outdated, or the laptop breaks, and we have to seek elsewhere for more joy, more hope. Christ never changes. He's an eternal hope. And because he came as a man and he lived and died and rose again, that hope is ours forever. He came in the flesh as a little baby on that first Christmas so that he could bear our punishment on a cross. He then conquered death by rising from the dead. Which if hadn't happened, he just would have been another man. But because he rose, we can live again with him. The first man, Adam, brought death, suffering, and the sin curse into the world. But the last man, Adam, Jesus Christ, paid the sin debt for each one of us on that cross. Someday, every believer, those who have given their life to Jesus Christ, we'll dwell with him eternally in a place where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. And that is the glorious hope that we have at Christmas, that began with the death or the birth of that little baby in Bethlehem a little over 2,000 years ago.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign.
bow to babe on bended knee. The Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born. He shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story of a the light of the world given for us. Noel. Son of God and Son of Man, there before the world began. Born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ the everlasting Lord, he shall reign forevermore. Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story of amazing love, the light of the world given for us. Noel.
Bring your Bibles with you. Would you open them to Luke chapter 2? Rigatoni, apple and cherry pie. Mom's day was filled with filling the house with the aromas of Christmas, the smell of pine tree in every room, and the understanding that there were gifts under the tree. Expectation of family and food would always be met in the DeRocher home. Not a big family. Often Grandma and Grandpa Skopitis would be able to come from Phoenix and the occasional Uncle Greg sighting. The anticipation was palpable. As the time drew closer to dinner and the opening of the presents would be soon at hand. We opened presents at night and went to bed anticipating even more presents in the morning. There was a great deal of expectation and anticipation focused on Tanta And those of you that have met my aunt, that's German for, or Tante is German for aunt. A lot of our expectation and anticipation really revolved around Tante. She would always arrive with a car full of gifts. We would help unload the seemingly never-ending treasure trove of cleverly wrapped presents and surprises. We knew Tante would come for Christmas with expectation, yet it was the not being sure when she would arrive that intensified our anticipation. I'm sure my brother and I wore Mom out inquiring, when was Tante going to be here? My mom always had a time that she was told when Tante was going to be here. But we knew that that time to Tante was that she might, it was a time that she might be at her home. But it was often the time that she was leaving her own home. If Tante said 2 p.m., and it was 2 p.m., most of the time my mom would be on the phone calling to see where she was. Our hope was that she wouldn't answer the phone, which meant that she was en route from Long Beach to Glendora. Unfortunately, most of the time she answered the phone and told us she was coming. I had a lot to be thankful for on Christmas. And I can only imagine what the expectation and anticipation was like for Israel over 2,000 years ago. The hope of the coming of the promised Messiah. The feasts would be overshadowed that year as a census was required. But what was always on the heart and mind of the Jews was, when would the promised Messiah come? The story of the first Christmas, the Christmas we are all familiar with, is those things that we understand. It's about Joseph and Mary, Jesus born in a manger, shepherds that were visited by angels as they were out in the fields, and it was announced that a Savior was born. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Yet there were two in the first Christmas story we're less familiar with. A man by the name of Simeon and a woman by the name of Anna, who lived in expectation and anticipation of a gift that was promised by God. And so in Luke chapter 2 at verse 25 it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And as he would enter the temple, it was always his hope that that gift would be given by God. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" The first Christmas. You know, we look forward, and especially as kids, and our kids look forward to those, that opening of presents, and that anticipation and that expectation is satisfied for the time being, right? Until the next year. We start looking forward to the next Christmas. Yet, as Simeon realizes this great gift, he didn't have to look forward to any more days. The promise was realized. His hopes had been fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Christmas is a happy, holy day. Most people that would rather not say Merry Christmas and say Happy Holidays don't understand the true meaning of what they're saying. When the greatest gift given to mankind is again the realization of great expectation and the satisfaction of our anticipation that of the great thing that God has done for us. You know, when you think about it, is it November? Is Thanksgiving November? I just ate a bunch of turkey. I might still be on a tryptophan trip, but really, Christmas is the church's Thanksgiving. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with this judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now there was one named Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, had lived with a husband for 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day, and coming in that instant, and it was that instant as Simeon is blessing the Lord and saying these words, it says, coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. And this morning, just a reminder of all that we have to be thankful for. Listen, you may not have had the Christmas experience I did as a child. And I'm not looking back on those things this morning as much as I'm looking back on what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I am truly grateful that he came and he left eternity and became a baby and a child, that he might experience the same things I have experienced in my life and even more, so that he can be the Savior that I need and the Savior that you need. And we have a lot to be grateful for this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done. Lord, some are here with expectation, others with anticipation, Lord, of who you are. Lord, maybe that their eyes and their hearts might be truly open this morning, as we've heard this morning, that seeking that wisdom from you, is it true? Can we have peace and joy? Are you that hope of all of mankind? And the answer to all is yes, and can be found in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. We're going to take communion together. So as the worship team plays, and as the guys get the elements together and bring them up to offer them, let's take this time. You know, it was at his death and preceding his death that he instituted communion. But the real picture here and the understanding is this: the offering of his Son and the birth of his Son is really a picture of God's desire to commune with you and to commune with me, to open up that line of communication and that relationship. And we look at it from the front end, God reaching down to you and me amazing. Let's spend this time just with some reflection. And whatever questions you may have, as was said, maybe you're seeking that peace. Maybe your life just isn't full of joy right now. Maybe you're here without the hope, but you want to know if it's real. Now's the time to seek Him and ask Him.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that's your due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that's your due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that's your due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you.
Celebrate the birth of Christ. At Easter, we celebrate his resurrection in overcoming sin and death. Today, while we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we will take communion together. Communion is a time for us to remember that Jesus' death on the cross made atonement for our sins and made relationship with God possible. It's a time for us to remember that we are joined to him in an everlasting covenant, symbolically taking his body and his blood, just as the disciples did with Jesus when they broke bread and drank wine at the last Passover together. Jesus desired to share this final Passover with the 12 disciples. He wanted and treasured this time with them. They were his closest companions. He called them his own. Just as Passover commemorated the Exodus from Egypt, Jesus would now accomplish a greater Exodus on the cross. An Exodus for all out of the slavery of sin and death. He, the Lamb of God, would fulfill the prophecy foretold, becoming the Savior of the world. Communion is always an intimate time with Jesus as we contemplate his ultimate sacrifice for us. We as a church body brought together by Jesus Christ have the privilege of sharing that intimacy as we enter into his presence while sharing communion together. Communion is not only for self-examination, but it's also a time of celebration and joy as we recognize our relationship with Jesus, made possible only through his death on the cross. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What a love he has for us. The breaking of the bread symbolizes his body. We use a cracker here, but the breaking of the cracker symbolizes his body sacrificed for us. The cup of juice we drink represents the shedding of his blood on the cross. There is no transubstantiation, nothing magical that happens. This doesn't actually turn into his body or this into his blood. The change that takes place is when we realize what he has done for us. It's a change in our hearts. It transforms us when we realize that he is the true Savior. As we prepare to take the elements today, let's recognize our need and dependency on God and come to the table to participate in this union where we share in Jesus together. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He said to do this in remembrance of me. And that's what we're doing here today. So if you'll join me, let's break the bread together. Luke 22, verse 20. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." And we are part of that new covenant. Let's drink the cup together.
Would you stand, please?
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans, for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he shall
shall reign forevermore, forevermore. If I were a wise man, I would travel far. And if I were a shepherd, I would do my part. But poor as I am, I will give to him my heart. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us the child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
Here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies. This baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah.
Into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears. The promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign, he shall reign, he shall reign.
Just want to leave us with something and an encouragement for all of us that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Notice Anna said, it says about Anna, coming in the instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And many of us are going to be with loved ones, friends, and family. The idea of regifting in our culture and society is not very apropos. But when it comes to the gift of Jesus Christ, it began that Christmas, in that realization with Anna, the idea, listen, regifting Jesus is the greatest thing we can do. Share his light, share his love with everybody you come across this this year of Christmas, because that's truly what we celebrate right now. Amen? Amen. Be blessed. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy the Christmas celebration with your family.